Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give, and we pray for Pastor Bill Hain and his family at Granite Lake. Lord, bless them. Lord, every week we choose a pastor in our valley to bless, and because we're not just one church, Valley Christian Center, Hope Chapel, we're the body of Christ in this whole valley. And Lord, to do what needs to be done in this valley, it's going to take the whole body of Christ working together. And we just bless, Lord, what you're doing there. And we just pray, Father, for provision. We pray, Father, for your presence to be so real in the lives of the people of Granite Lake. And Lord, we bless what you're doing there, that expression of the kingdom, and that through Pastor Bill. Grace on them, we pray in Jesus' name. We thank you for Mark and Jane and their hearts to minister to pastors and their hearts, God, to bless the pastors of our valley. We, Lord, extend blessing toward them. We pray for Mark's health in Jesus' name. We know the doctor says he'll never recover from this cancer. It'll just be delayed. But we know a God who says greater. We know a God who says more, that you just don't put things off and then there's an end date. Lord, your grace and your healing is forever. And so we just declare over Mark's life, cancer be gone in Jesus' name. And all ill effects. And we agree together as family over their lives. And Lord, love is expressed through giving. We give our time, we give our hearts, we give our energies, and also, Lord, we give our finances. But you led the way in that. As we quoted earlier, for God so loved the world that he gave. Lord, just expand our hearts that we would just continue to be generous in giving love, in giving forgiveness, in giving grace, in giving time, and also, Lord, giving our finances. We bless you, Lord, and thank you that you lead the way in all things, and we're just following the lead of our Father who loves us so much. And bless this offering, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. So this morning, some dear friends that have been part of our church for a while, but that goes back even further than that. Roy was one of my men's leaders in Las Vegas, and we did a mornings group because we had some guys who had to work evenings, and so we put together a morning group, and it was, I think it was our best group. We had so much fun in that group. It was awesome, and Roy was a major leader there, and Deb Kay has been a friend for a long time, and on staff, they both have been friends for a long time. She was on staff for a while here at VCC, and then God called them to Edensong to go full-time. And so I think you all know Roy and Deb, but could you just bless Deb as she comes to preach the word and to teach us today? And thank you for...
So I'm excited. I'm always excited to share the word. And for those of you that know me, you'll be happy I have notes. I can't digress too awfully much. But I think God's given us a good word for today. So in 1958... Yeah, I'm going back there. A little 3.5-year-old girl put on a chicken costume and some tap shoes and went out to the stage with her friend Sherry and tapped her little heart out. And about 3 minutes into it, Sherry ran off the stage and left that little girl all by herself. And she didn't care. She was like, too bad for you. And tapped away and finished her concert, bowed, and walked off the stage. How could she do that? Because her daddy told her she could. Because her daddy told her she was beautiful, she was wonderful, she could do anything in the world because she was that cool. And as that little girl grew up, there were many other times that she did some things that were extraordinary for her. I was a little shy. I was quiet. I know, don't go there. But I was. I was very insecure as a child. And yet I would do these crazy things. When I was getting out of high school, I went to work for a global electronics company. And that's when, that's when computers first came out. And this company sold computer products. We bought them from the manufacturers, and then we sold them to like Los Alamos Scientific Lab, White Sands, all the bases, the Air Force, Navy, Army bases in the country, in the world, actually. And I became their product marketing manager. And my job was to bring in the net profit. And by the end of my time there, I had brought in the most net profit of anyone in the whole corporation. And I can assure you, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying, because I can assure you, I wasn't great at math. Okay, Deb. I wasn't great at a lot of things, but I could do that. And then I went on to work for a cellular company a couple years later. And I started out being, okay, so this was when cell phones were still in the trunks of cars. And they had just come, they had just come out with the brick phone. You remember the brick phone? Okay, we used to carry that brick phone around just like you carry your smartphones now. We were so proud of the, they weighed like 50 pounds. But we would carry them, we were so proud of them. And I started out being the person that would manually transfer your calls from cell tower to cell tower. Yeah? And then I moved into customer service manager, you know, I growing with the company. And eventually, towards the end, I started writing all the training for customer service management and salespeople for the whole corporation. Again, how did I do that? By then, I found another father. By then, I knew that God thought I was great, that God had created me for something special, and that God was where my value came from, that God was who was rising up inside of me, and that my hope didn't come from all the people that I used to teach from, Zig Ziglar. You know, the great Zig Ziglar was very motivational. Maxwell, motivational speakers, and those were the, those are so many of the people that, that people that don't know the Lord listen to. It's good. They need that encouragement. And it's good to believe in yourself. And it's not bad to believe in yourself. It's not bad to believe that you're wonderful and you're great and you're perfect and you're glorious, because that is who God has called you to be. He needs you to think that. He needs you to believe that, because you were born with a purpose. Because before you were even in the womb, before Simon was in the womb of Amy, God gave that child a plan for his life, a purpose in life. And he will grow up being that person. As I gained a closer relationship with the Lord, I realized that we absolutely should believe in ourselves, but not because we are us, not because of who we are, but because of who lives inside of us. Because Christ lives in us. The hope of glory. The expectation of glory. We should expect that we are going to be great. We should expect that when we recognize the call that God has on our lives, that we indeed can carry that call out. We have no reason not to expect it. In Philippians 4:13, Paul shares with us how no matter whether things are going great or things are going badly, no matter whether he has a lot of stuff or a little bit of stuff, he's okay. Why? Because he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I realize that I am only self-sufficient because of Christ's sufficiency. We teach the missionaries that they can go out and instead of just giving, giving, giving to all these people, that they can teach them how to be self-sufficient. And then I realized what we have to teach them first is to be Christ-sufficient. And when they become Christ-sufficient, they believe in their own sufficiency. In the Passion Translation, it says it like this. I know what it means to lack or to be humbled. And I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. For I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty or master all things. We have Christ's explosive power inside of us. Why? Because God's seed is inside of us. And because of that, certain tendencies of his will be passed on. It's why believers whose minds are renewed by God's word can believe that miracles can happen even today, even now. It's why we can believe that our friends can be healed of cancer. It's why we can believe that people can even be healed of small, you know, nothing small, but you know what I mean, smaller things. We can believe in all things because we're God's seed. We are his children, and he is the miracle worker. It's sown into our new nature to have that leaning. The world, they don't really understand that all things are possible. They think that they have to make it happen. But we don't have to think like that. Words of affirmation are important and even necessary, but only if they come from the hope of glory. Only if we're teaching them that they are good because God is good, that they are strong because the Christ lives within us and he is strong. Because when we are down and out, because you know what, people are fallible. If we only believe in each other, if we only believe in our own humanity, we're going to hurt each other. Sometimes people have to walk away. Sometimes people are going to say things that hurt your feelings. Sometimes you're going to do the same thing to others. Maybe not even meaning it, but it just happens. People are fallible, but Christ isn't. He is non-shifting. He is a non-shifting shadow, and he rises up within us. And we can call out our spirit man, and that spirit man will rise up and lead us in all things. Lead us on the path that we need to go. It's an inherited trait inside of us. We tend to express power. Why? Because it's in our nature. It was seated in us in our new birth. We tend to express authority because we're predisposed that way. God's parenting seed is right inside of us. And he is the highest authority. When I was the oldest kid. And when my mom and dad went away, they gave me the authority. The kids have their pajamas on at this time. Well, they take their bath, they put their pajamas on, they go to bed. And they had to listen to me. And they still do. But I had that authority. Why? Because my daddy gave it to me. Our daddy gives us that authority as well. God has passed that authority on to us, and we tend to believe for dominion. We see ourselves ruling and reigning and conquering in anything that he's given us to do. Look, when God first called Roy and I to start this ministry, Eden Song, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know anything about starting a ministry. We didn't know anything about getting a 501c3. We didn't know anything about missions. We'd been on a couple trips. We had a good time, but we really didn't know much about it. So I asked the Lord, well, why? And he said, along with other things, he told us that he would give us dominion over nations. Okay, if you don't think that freaked me out, because it sounds so big. But to be honest with you, nothing God calls you to do is too big for you to do. Anything that he puts in your heart, anything that he asks you to say yes to, he will give you everything you need to get there. It doesn't matter, because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are deeper than our thoughts. There is nothing that you can't do. You can do all things through Christ. All things. So dominion encourages mastery over things. So there were some things Roy and I had to do. We had to learn about missions. We had to start studying missionaries. We had to go way back to when missionaries first started and how it came to pass to where they are now. We had to start going out. We started out with just Africa, but now we're in 52, 53, 54 different countries. We have to study those countries. We have to figure out what the missionaries need to help the people that they're out there to serve. And so dominion encourages a mastery over things. But it's okay, because these are inherited leanings in the redeemed ones. Why? Because we're God's seed. We have his DNA. And his disposition as the ruler of all is planted in us, into our nature, and it's very real. And that's why it says in 1 John 4:4, you are of God and you belong to him. And you have already overcome the agents. You have already overcome them who are the agents of the Antichrist. Because why? He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God is in us. And he's planted his word in us. He's planted a seed in us through his word. And his disposition is to always overcome evil. And that is planted into the very nature as part of our spiritual DNA. And he has planted that seed into the nature of his children to never give up. Never. But to subdue and to conquer and to reign in Jesus' name. You can do anything. All things. Nothing cannot be done. Because it's already been planted in you before you were born. I knew you before you were in the womb. I know all your days. They've been counted. So, how fun is that? There's nothing that you can't do. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And it goes on to say, you know, we experience pressure, but we're not crushed. There's times we don't know what in the world we're doing, but quitting is not an option. Right? We are persecuted, but God won't forsake us. We may be knocked down, but we're not destroyed. And it ends by saying, we continually share in the death of Christ in our own bodies so that the resurrection life of Christ will be revealed through our humanity. Paul uses a figurative language to say that we are common clay jars. We're just created from dust, right? Yet we possess the brilliant light of God's glory, Jesus Christ, right inside of us. And we carry him as a treasure in our being. The outward vessel doesn't matter anywhere near as much as that glorious treasure of Christ's light that shines through us. The metaphor here reminded me of Gideon. So I want to talk just for a minute about confidence, commitment, and zeal. And using that to accomplish the great commission set before us in Acts 1:8, right? He says, go out into all the world, be a witness to me in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and to the ends of the earth. That's what he says to do. And however he's called each one of us to do that is however each one of us needs to accomplish that, will accomplish that. Why? Because it's not up to you. It's up to you doing what God has asked you to do. It's up to obedience. It's up to having yes in your mouth. Like Mike was talking about, Pastor was talking about, just saying yes and then letting God do what God is going to do. So confidence comes from knowing we have that light inside of us. I like the message. It says, if you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. What is that light? It's the treasure, the divine light of the gospel. And Paul says in Ephesians 6:19 that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador. Bill Johnson says, let the supernatural breathe into the natural. Everything that we say should breathe the supernatural, because there's so many lost people out there that still don't know. It's revival time. It's time to start seeing revival in this land. And it's going to start somewhere, and it's going to start here. It's going to start in your heart. And then you're going to talk to your friend. And then it's going to be the two of you. And then you're going to talk to your other friend. And then it's going to be the three of you. And then it's going to be a congregation full of people. And then it's going to be two churches and three churches and 10 churches until this whole city is full of boldness and the word of God being expressed. And people are going to stop worrying about things. People are going to stop being afraid of what's going on in the world, because they're going to know that they know that they know that they know that Christ is coming and Christ is here and Christ is in each one of us. Revival is going to happen whether you want it to or not. And the altars are going to be full of people, not just repenting, but crying out for the more that God has for them. And the light is in you. And the light has to come from you, because we can sit here and be quiet and all together and say, yay, God, he's so cool, and know it and feel it. But it's like Jeremiah says, the words are shut up in me like a fire, and they have to come out. We can't keep the word of God shut up in us like a fire. It has to come out. And we become bold by dying to self. We become bold by allowing the power to be of God and not of man. Why? So he can be glorified. You know, Gideon had no confidence that he could run after God's call. In Judges 6, I love it. In Judges 6, here's Gideon. He's under a tree, or he's in the threshing fields, in the wine press, threshing his wheat. Why? He's hiding from the Midianites. I would be too. He's hiding from the Midianites. And then this angel comes to him and he says, "Hey, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." What? Valor? Really? I'm threshing wheat in a hidden wine press. And the angel says, "Hey, go in this might of yours," he says, "and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And Gideon says, "Well, wait a minute. How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the weakest in my clan." Okay, not bad enough that you got a clan he calls the weakest, but now you're the weakest too. He had no confidence that he could do this, but the Lord did. Why? Because the Lord had called him to do this from way before he was even born. And so the Lord said to him, "Listen, surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." And you know the story. He gets this huge 3,000 men. The troops are out there. They're practicing. They're doing their thing. They go down to a watering hole, and all of a sudden, there's 300 left. And Gideon looks around and thinks, "Oh, my goodness sakes. God is surely with me in this place, because I can't do this with 300 men. There's a whole camp of Midianites down there, and they're strong, and they're scary." So they sneak down into the camp, and they hear somebody talking about a dream. And all of a sudden, and you know it was the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden Gideon knows that that dream was talking about him and his men going down in there and taking over the camp. And he goes, "Aha." And he runs back. And he says, you guys, we could do this. I just know it. I heard this dream. It was about bread, but don't worry. We can do this." And they're like, "Okay, we're going to take our swords and we're going to get these earthen jars here and we're going to put a candle in them and we're going to run down and we're just going to scare them to death." And that's what they did. They took their swords, they started running, they broke their jars, held the torches in their hands, and they started screaming, "A sword for Gideon and a sword for God," because they knew that it was God that was going to get them through. They knew God was with them, and they knew they could do this because God said they could. Because Daddy said, "You're the greatest, you're the best, you can do anything. I will always be with you." And they knew that. So how do we become a weak enough vessel for God to use? We become broken. We become transparent. We take things to the altar. The weaker the vessel, the stronger his power will appear to be. And the treasure, Christ, will be valued all the more. Because when we realize it's not of us, we don't have anyone to thank but him. And so we bring our weaknesses up to the altar. And we ask for the more that he has. It's good to cry before the altar. It's good to get on your face. It's good, whether the altar's in your living room, your bedroom, or right here, it's good to get on your face. It's good to thank him. It's good to repent. It's good for all those things. It is also good to ask him for the strength. It's also good for ask him to rise up inside of you. It's also good to say, "Hey, I'm scared. Hey, I'm nervous. Hey, I don't know if I can do this, but I know I need to say yes to you," because you're going to walk away. You're going to stand up. You're going to move as a different person after that. Because there's nothing you can ask Papa that he won't say yes to, unless it's bad. And allow the light of God to fill the world. I had a revelation a few years ago. Well, some time ago, a lot of years ago. But I had the revelation a long time ago, and it's taken me quite a while. I still keep going through it. You know how you do? "Oh, yeah, that's really great." 10 years later, you're like, "What was that again?" But I had this revelation that I was worthless without God. I was just sitting there, and I thought, "Wow, I'm worthless. I am worthless without God because it's Christ within me that's the hope of glory. It's his strength that undergirds me. And I have only the joy of the Lord. He makes straight my path. And I realized that it was time to break the physical vessel and to just stand naked and abandoned before him and ask him to clothe me in his righteousness, his goodness, his joy, his armor, so that when I go out in battle, the light of who he is goes before me and draws those people to me. I asked him that his confidence, that his countenance would match my, that my countenance would match his. In Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glory your Father in heaven. And we could walk around afraid of what's going on in politics, afraid of what's going on in other nations, afraid of what's going to happen with our kids, afraid, or we can walk around with the countenance of the Lord in peace, in joy, and knowing that even when we're going through sorrows, even when we're going through hard times, that we have him. He's right there. He's in us. He's with us. He's around us. He sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us. We have three people to choose from. How can we go wrong? There's a zeal that comes from knowing you're doing something mighty. That's my last thing, the zeal. In Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. To be zealous means to be enthusiastic, passionate, fervent, and fanatical. Fanatical. Okay, I've seen football games. I have a friend that loves baseball. We could be sitting there, the other three of us talking away, and he's watching his phone watching baseball. He loves baseball so much. And he screams, and he gets crazy, and he enjoys it. He's fanatical about it. And yet when it comes to God, we're all like, oh, yes, the Lord. When we should be going, oh, my gosh, the Lord. The Lord has brought me thus far. The Lord has lifted me up out of the mucky mire. I was in so much mucky mire for a few years. If the Lord had not lifted me up, I would literally be dead. But he raised me up out of this mucky mire. And here I stand, alive, and so happy. And whenever I start thinking, oh, man, you know, I got to go on another trip. Oh, I got to go do that. Oh, I've got so much to do. I have to stop. So sometimes he stops me. But I have to stop. And he knows I have to stop. And I have to say, where did I come from? What has the Lord brought me from? From you are all things. To you are all things. He deserves the glory. And that's what we should be screaming from the housetops. He deserves the glory. There are times I have this prayer room up in my upper. We have three levels in our house. And the top room is just a prayer room. Sometime, and my neighbors are, they need the Lord. We have two neighbors on either side of us that, they need the Lord. And so all my windows are, and one's on one side and one's on the other. So I open them, and I turn up the music, and I sing in my off-key voice very loudly. And I just, you know what, Lord? Get that music out there. Get that worship out there. Get it out in our neighborhood. You got to shout it from the rooftops. We serve a great God, and he serves us. I love it so much. I love God so much. I love God so much that sometimes I can barely stand it. I don't even know, like, the words. I just want to stir you up to love him like I love him. I know most of you. I know you do. I'm preaching to the choir, too. But we just, I don't know, right? God is stirring up the gifts to send us out with a passion, an insatiable desire to spread the good news. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. Zeal. It's the zeal to take people with us. So one day, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. It's a fire of God inside of our earthen vessel. And when we break before God, The excellence of the power of God will flow from us, and we then will grasp truly, that truly all things are possible through Christ. You may wonder where that zeal comes from. I told you there was a time when I was really shy, when I was really quiet, when I loved people, but I just didn't know if they loved me back. But you know what? When it's not you anymore, when you have totally broken down and let Christ in completely, when you've really chosen to die to self, when you've really chosen that it's not all about you, and you've really chosen to pick up the cross every day and say, Lord, what do I do for you today? Who are you going to bring in front of me today? What divine appointment am I going to come across today? Then the Holy Spirit can just take over. The boldness comes from filling yourself with the Holy Spirit, and you can do all things the Lord leads you to do because he lives inside of you, because it's his DNA, because it's his wisdom, it's his strength. So I just want to leave you with that. I'll just pray. Lord, right now, I just thank you for being here. I thank you, Lord, that you have sent your angels in here, your hosts of heaven, Lord, to touch those, to touch every one of us in the way that we need touched, to strengthen the things inside of us that we need strengthened, to increase what needs increased. Lord, I thank you that because of who you are, because of how much you love us, because of the fact that you created us to be in relationship with you and with each other, that you will increase love, that you will increase joy, and that you will increase the boldness to express that, that you will put a yes in every mouth, and that you will send us out so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord, that revival will fill this valley, that revival will float up and down the river, that every river city will become alive in you, and that will be a picture for others to copy. And Lord, that it won't be a day-to-day revival, but it'll just be a change in our world, a change in our country. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Don't we just love the Killians? Aren't they the best? Roy, Deb, why don't you come up here? We're gonna pray for you guys. Come on, my Deb as well. Come on, and then we're gonna receive the communion. And as Deb was talking, I'm running around in circles. Look at this. That they serve missionaries that are in the field, and so would you extend your hand, and we're gonna pray a blessing on Eden's song. Father, we thank you for Roy and Deb, and Lord, so many people come in and out of our lives. And Father, there are a few that have stayed. This couple has. We bless them. We bless the friendship. We bless, Lord, the years of investment and experience. And we also bless the future, Lord, that God, we bless Eden's song, but more than that, we bless Roy and Deb, because Eden's song is a corporation. You don't bless corporations, you bless people, and we bless these, our friends, and we pray, Father, for great open doors to, Father, see your kingdom advanced. Lord, it's not the gospel of salvation, it's the gospel of the kingdom, and the kingdom changes culture. Kingdom changes environment. Let them, Father God, see expansion of your kingdom into different parts of the nation. And Lord, I just see, Lord, as one day when we stand before you, smiling faces of different ethnicities that, Lord, that they had a part in winning to Christ, because really that's what it's all about. It's about the eternal investment of the seed of God in our lives. And we, as at Valiant Hope, we bless Roy and Deb Killian. And we thank you for them in Jesus' name. And everyone said yes and amen. Would you? Come on, let's bless them one more time. we're going to receive the communion, and this is God's yes to us. That before the creation of the world, God said yes to us. So we're going to do communion this way. We're going to just kind of put the communion out, and Ryan's going to put on some music in just a moment. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, come and receive the communion. You don't have to be a member of our church. It's a member of the body of Christ. And as we take this, what we're doing is we're declaring the bread signifies, as Jesus said, that this is his body that was broken for you. And I want us to, as I was preparing to come up with communion, I had a memory of it when we were in Turlock, California. It was just a regular communion Sunday, first of the month. And this older gentleman in our church who had been suffering from back pain for years and years and years and years, they served in the communion. He ate the bread just like he had done time and time again. But he stood up and he said, "I'm healed." This is not a cracker. This is the demonstration of love. You can be healed because of Jesus. You can receive healing because of Jesus. Okay. Did something or does someone roll down the hill? Oh, hi. She's adorable. Did I tell you I'm a grandpa? Yeah. And now the pictures. No. No. Jesus does heal today. And if you have a loved one or if you yourself are saying, "Mike, I need a touch of healing," I want you to take this cracker. I'm going to pray for the cracker, the broken body of Jesus. I'm going to pray the cup, which represents, dear ones, we don't have to walk in any guilt or shame. All of our sins have been totally forgiven forever. Someone say amen to that. Past, present, and you know what? He's already got your future covered too. It's already been covered. This is love. This is his yes to you. And I want us just to take the communion, and if you need a physical healing or if you're carrying shame or regret, as you bring the cup to your mouth, just say, "I receive total forgiveness from Christ." And so I'm going to have it with my family. I'm going to receive communion with my family. If you want to join our family, you're welcome. If you want to do it by yourself, you're welcome. If you want to just do it two or three, you're welcome. But we're going to open this up, and I'm going to pray for the cup. I'm going to pray for the bread. And I'm just going to ask you to stand, come forward, and just receive the cup. You can go over to the side and pray. You can go back to your seat. You can just take it and go. However you want to receive the communion today, let's just know that Jesus Christ is our healer, and Jesus is our forgiver of sins. Would you say amen with me on that? Lord, you say in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name who forgives all of my sins and heals all my diseases." Lord, we would never once say you only forgive a portion of our sins. You forgive all of our sins. We believe that. But when you died on the cross and you rose from the dead, Psalm 103 became alive and active. You heal us from all of our diseases, and you forgive us from all of our sins. So, Lord, as we take the bread and we take the cup, we take it with belief, faith, saying, "You heal all of our ailments, Lord. And you forgive all of our transgressions." So as we receive the communion today, we do it with gratitude and thanksgiving. Thank you that you love us so much. Dad, as Deb was talking about, you believe in us so much. You believe in us so much that you gave us your son that we might have a vibrant, living, zealous relationship with you. And Lord, I pray for anyone here today. In fact, let me stop praying. If you are here today and you're not sure about your relationship with Jesus Christ, basically, if your heart is open to it, just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And at that moment, I believe that you rose from the dead. I accept your forgiveness. And at that moment, Jesus says, there's a transfer that takes place. I give you my righteousness, and I'll take your sin all away. And then you can let this communion be your first physical demonstration, your testimony that you have accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. So today, Lord, we thank you for love that gave. We thank you for love that hung on a cross. And we thank you for love that rose from the dead, that empowers us to live the reality of Jesus. In your name, amen and amen. Would you come and receive the communion?